Lord Jesus, we just thank you. We thank you that you are a loving Father who sent your Son, Jesus. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for what you did for us at the cross. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for that precious blood. Hallelujah. The Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Our worship team. Amen. 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 A worship team which was formed on a Friday coming up the motorway. Isn't God good? Hallelujah. We are blessed. Okay. Welcome again, everybody, guests, visitors. I'd like to thank Pastor for the privilege of inviting us. And all of you lovely people for having us here. It is a privilege and an honor to be here to share the Word of God. Amen. It's not about me, and it's not about our students. It's all about Jesus. And many of the students at Charis Bible College have come from all parts of the world. The Word, hearing the Word and hearing the truth of the Word will make you do things. It changes your life. And for many of us at college, it has changed us. A lot of us gave up jobs. My wife and I, we gave up our jobs, packed all our stuff in a van and came up to the Midlands. And long ago, I heard a Birmingham accent and I thought, no. But God had another plan. So today, you're going to hear some different accents from some of our students at Charis Bible College. And what they're going to do is, and I'm privileged to introduce them to you, it's going to share a bit of their journey or their testimony so we can get to know each other as a family. Amen? So, who's going to step up first? Well, I'm here. Arnold. Hallelujah. So, it's my privilege to introduce to you Arnold. He will be graduating in a couple weeks' time. So, over to you, brother.
Thank you. Hello. Well, it's an honor to be here. And it's been an amazing weekend. And Scotland is beautiful. Much more beautiful that you can hear God saying, I think you can come and stay here. Amen. I'm going to share a little bit of my testimony. I'm young, 21 years old. And I was born in a Christian family. From start, my parents used to go to church. They were very active in church. So I went to church. I went to Sunday school. And I think it was still 2002. My parents moved to come here. And I stayed in Zimbabwe with my auntie. So from there onwards, my auntie, she used to go to church. But the church that she used to went, it was a different church. So being used to go to church and then to go to my aunt's church, that one was very legalistic church and everything. So it didn't go well with me, like all the things they tell you, do not eat pork and everything. But me, I know, I eat pork. And I have to go to church eating pork. Now I'm going to church, I'm eating pork. And I'm told you're not supposed to eat pork. So I stopped going to church from that. And then I think until I was 16 years old, I went to this school in Zimbabwe. It was a Catholic church, a Catholic school, and it was a must that a student should go to church every Sunday and every Wednesday. It was, if you didn't go to church, you have to face consequences. So I went there. At first, it was just going to church and everything. There was nothing different, just going to Catholic church. And to go there, and they do their prayers, kneel down, stand up, kneel down, sort of like. So it was kind of boring and everything. And I think one day, the vicar that used to be there moved, went to Italy, and then there came this another vicar. There was something different about that one. Although he was in a Catholic church, his message, what he preached, was totally different. What he used to do, it was all different. He would think, oh, I'm still in a Catholic church, with what he's doing and everything. And from there, that's where I gave my life. I fully committed myself to the Lord, and soon after that, I moved to here, to United Kingdom in 2009. I think when I moved here, I sat down one day thinking, you know, now I'm going to church. Then I looked how many days I go to church and how many days I don't go to church, and I found out, like, if I go every Sunday to church, if I go to a Bible study in the during the week, and if I go to a youth on Friday, or and some days go out with the youth on Saturday, that takes almost half of the year of my life going to church. And then I thought, you know, it's either I have to fully commit to church because it's already taken half of my life, or I leave it all and start doing some other things. And thank God, I decided to fully commit to church. And then I did that, and I had God speaking to me, and he called me into ministry. I think it all happened in that short period of time, like, and he called me, and I was sitting, and my dad is a pastor, and I felt like God is calling me, and then I thought, oh, it's probably becoming a pastor. But then I was, remember, one night in my bed, and I was to God, you know what, God, I don't want to be a pastor. There's already a pastor in our family. We can't all just be pastors. So then I heard God speaking clearly to me, and he called me for evangelism. And I was like, oh, evangelism. That's a different one, God. I don't really think I can do evangelism, to go and start speaking to people and everything. And I was like, God, that one, I'm not sure about that. I need confirmation. And I remember, I think we went to a conference. It was Spring Harvest conference, within 2 weeks from there. And then I heard God. And this lady came to me one night. I was in the youth service, and we were praying. We were just like in worship. And she came and she told me what I heard God saying to me, calling me to do word by word. And I looked and I was like, what? How do you know all this? And thereafter, I was like, oh, I've got my confirmation that I've been called into ministry. And but then, like humans do, we still want more confirmation. But God has already given us the confirmation. Because of one unbelief or something. But then still God, he came through. Within 2 weeks, there's this guest speaker who came to our church to preach. And he came to me and he told me exactly word by word again. Nothing changed. Exactly the same thing. And I was like, oh, that's enough. I am called to do this. So I think after that, I decided, you know what, one day I'd want to go to Bible college. And I kind of said to myself, you know what, I want to go to Bible college before I'm 25. And I was starting to think now, okay, now I'm doing A-levels. After this, I want to go to university. I want to go and study mathematics. After I graduate, can I go to Bible college? Say, am I going to go to Bible college before I'm 25? And I'm thinking, well, how is it going to work? Because me, myself, I want to go to Bible college before I'm 25, or I'm not going to go to Bible college after that. So I just put it that aside, and I continued my A-levels, walk with the Lord. And after I finished my A-levels, I took a gap year, and I was kind of working during that gap year. And after almost I finished my gap year, I went to Caris Bible College to open week, and I was with my friend. And I think we went, started on Monday, and we went on Wednesday. And by the end of second session, I was like, my friend, I think I'm going to come here. And my friend was like, I think in me too, I'm going to come here. I'm like, ah, sure. And then we just took all the forms, and then we sent them there and there. Then we gave them their forms straight away. There was nothing much to think, oh, whatever. And I was now thinking, I'm not working. And my mom, she's in Bible college already. And I was thinking, now the money, where is it going to come from and everything? And, well, on the form, it says, tell us how you're going to pay for the fees for the college. Now I put, well, God is going to provide for me. That's all I put. Like, well, God is going to provide for me. And shortly after that, I went to church on Sunday, and in our church, this guy gave us money, £500, to pay, and he goes, oh, you're going to Bible college, so 250 for you, 250 for you. And for the month, it was paid. And after that month, the next month, I got the tax returns, and it was exactly the fees that's needed for that, and it was paid. And as we keep on going throughout the college, I've seen God providing the fees for me. Sometimes where I think, where am I going to get the fees from? And my friend, who's in Portsmouth, and she called, and she was like, oh, hi, Arnold, how are you? I was thinking about you. How much is your school fees? I want to pay for it. I was like, wow, this is amazing. And I think one thing I've learned those 2 years I've been in college, one thing that has been God has put in my heart that I don't think I will never lose, that is God who always provide for me. He's always my provider. No matter what, I think that's one thing I can leave to you guys, that God who always provide. I think if you look from Genesis, when Abraham was told to go and sacrifice his only son, he went there and he believed God, okay, I'm going to sacrifice my only son. You know, sometimes I think in his heart, Abraham will be thinking, God, what's going to happen? I'm just going to sacrifice my only son. And on the other end is believing in God and is trusting God. But he decided to trust in God fully. Like, I'm just going to do it because God says so. And you all know the story that before he sacrificed his son, God provided the lamb to provide. I think that's the God we serve, and he's there for us, to give for us. He doesn't want us to live in lack. You know, when he died on that cross, we talk about he took all our sins, he made us whole and everything. But one thing he did is he provided everything that we need for us on that cross, so that we don't have any lack. And it also talks about, in the Bible, about the beds. We see the beds out there. They don't have anyone who provides for them. It's only God. And God takes care of them. But then think of those beds. And then think of you guys. The Bible talks about who is man that you are mindful of him. God is thinking about you every day. So how much more can he give to you when he's thinking about you? doesn't matter, whatever, if it doesn't look possible in eyes of the men, well, one other thing I can say is God is smarter than anyone in the world. And when we believe that God is smarter than anyone else in the world, we will know that even if people say it's impossible, tell them you're not smarter than God. Until God said it's impossible, that's when it's impossible. And I'm still looking for when God said it's impossible. I haven't seen it. So, that's a bit of my testimony. Yes, amen.
Wow, wasn't that good, eh? Nothing is impossible for God.